we are both back from an Oppenheimer Barbie. Y'all know what it's called, Barbenheimer. We both did a Barbenheimer, and I think that's pretty obviously what's going to be the content for, what do you think, majority podcast, right, in America?
Yeah, it's kind of the biggest kind of event in a while.
I can't remember another time something like this has happened where
like everybody was buying into something.
Yeah, everybody wanted to do a double feature.
A double feature I've never seen before.
Yeah, I can't name another time something like this has happened where a double
going feature... to see any movie.
Yeah, there's movies that have gotten buzz, of course. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah. I'd say this is the biggest one in a while, though, still.
This is like...
But it's a combined effort.
Yeah, I've never seen, like, a double feature. Not just, like, two movies at the same time getting buzz, but, like, a double feature getting buzz like this. It's a pretty fun occurrence. I'm glad that I did a Barbenheimer run.
Yeah, it was a very memorable day.
Mine was a bit, a little rougher, I guess, because I did it no breaks. There was like a 5-minute break between Oppenheimer and Barbie for me. And we saw Oppenheimer first at 6:45, and then we saw Barbie at 10. And when we when we sat down for Barbie, they played like the final like theater ad, and then Barbie started.
Damn, that's a real back to back.
So that was like, it was a true back to back. But it was enjoyable, very fun night.
We did like a 2-hour break in between just to like chill and get some food and change into from our Oppenheimer fits into our Barbie fits.
Yeah, obviously.
So I did the black look for Oppenheimer and then a pink and white look for Barbie.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody actually do an Oppenheimer fit, but there were people that did Barbie fits.
Oh yeah, way more people dressed up for Barbie. But it's less maintenance. I mean, to be fair,
yeah.
A lot of people dressed up for Barbie, though. At least I saw. People were showing up in, like, hot pink dresses and high heels. And
yeah.
Did their hair and everything. So, salute to those people. I personally can't do that. Well, maybe I could wear a dress if I wanted to, but I had no dresses to wear. So.
Yeah, I didn't have anything cleaned at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay, sorry, my brother, the cleaners.
But we're going to go over both movies. And we want to do Oppenheimer first, I guess, because we did both see it first. And I honestly think if you haven't done the Barbenheimer run and want to still, I kind of would recommend Oppenheimer first.
Yeah, but 100% would
recommend Oppenheimer first. Because Barbie is very, like, Barbie's going to make you feel good at the end. Oppenheimer is not. So you need that little morale boost. At the end, you don't want to do Oppenheimer after Barbie. I think you want to get Oppenheimer out of the way.
Yeah, it's like I said before, and so many times, Oppenheimer is the very heavy meal, Barbie is the nice, tasty dessert.
And I will say, Barbie feels a lot quicker after you watch Oppenheimer, because
that movie
is half the runtime.
So. Pretty, I think Barbie second is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I think it makes it go down a lot easier. But we're going to discuss, like I said. We're going to start with Oppenheimer. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's there.
The takes I'm seeing on social media about it by some people are You didn't.
They're a bit lost and confused.
You didn't watch. You didn't. You didn't. You're okay. Honestly, you know who it is. It's the chronically online people, that are spewing the worst takes about this movie.
Like I seen a lot. Like there were no Japanese people in it. Like that's a good point.
Robert Oppenheimer was known for having many Japanese friends.
Yes, yeah, a lot of Japanese people worked on the fucking Manhattan Project.
Yes, absolutely. I just don't think they get what the movie was about. Media literacy is, I think, just a theory. I don't know if it's real or not.
Because probably not. People just don't get it.
Like they're like, oh, they made him look good. When? When exactly did they make Oppenheimer look like a hero?
Yeah, like someone when he cheated on his wife.
Someone legit called Oppenheimer 3 hours of propaganda. I'm like, my brother in Christ, for who?
Yeah, what propaganda? What exactly is being promoted here?
Not really. I would definitely not say that. Jesus Christ. It's just,
I mean, does it make us feel bad for him? Maybe. But like,
maybe not really. A little bit, but like still, like, If you think the movie's making... Okay. You know, you have your own brain, right? Like, just because the movie is showing you something doesn't mean it has to be like, oh, the movie's trying to make me feel bad for him. Not necessarily.
I mean, maybe you side with him because you're like, oh, he's an American hero. And then you realize... Oh, but he also, like, isn't, and is also not a great person?
No, Oppenheimer's a horrible person. And
like, American hero, maybe, but good person, definitely.
The movie does not, at least in my mind, the movie did not at all portray Oppenheimer to be a good person. Really, at any point. And, like, maybe I can get, like, oh, they tried to make us feel bad for him. Like, yeah, maybe in, like, the hearing with, like, you know, the loyalty and the security clearance and shit.
Yeah.
Potentially. But, like, you still have your own brain to know that even though what they were doing, like, this is, you know, they were doing Oppenheimer dirty, doesn't necessarily mean you have to feel bad for him.
Yeah, and even when he was, like, upset that the girl he loved killed herself, even his wife was like, pull yourself together, you dumb piece of shit.
Yeah.
We got the game to get off. And then he did.
Yeah, I just don't get the takes about how, like, oh, they made Oppenheimer look like, you know, a hero, and, like, I don't know. Because, like, even Oppenheimer... didn't really want to drop those nukes.
He just built them.
He built them, and that's his crime, really, that he even built them at all. But yeah.
And that's what the point of the finale of the movie is, really.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Is this like, yeah, we didn't destroy the world by dropping a bomb, but maybe by building it.
Yeah, just by building it. Yeah.
And that's like the... That's the movie for me, is that sentiment and that sort of last sequence. Like, that's the point that's trying to be made.
I think... I don't know. I think it's just because it's a Nolan movie and sometimes they're a little... You know, they can, they're not exactly straightforward. So I think people saw this movie and didn't really know how to take it. At least some people.
But it's not like this, it was like a confusing plot.
No, not at all. But I think maybe people just read too much into it. I don't know what people are expecting, like, from an Oppenheimer movie. Like, I'm just not sure.
It's not like what we got subverted anybody's expectations. No, like, okay, no. It's a 3-hour biopic about Oppenheimer's involvement in like his coming up, and then his involvement in the Manhattan Project, and then what happened after the war. It's really that simple.
I don't know. I just don't get the takes from really TikTok. Not that TikTok, you know, you're not going to get excellent review. People on TikTok made up that fucking 15-minute sex scene rumor. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, true.
But it was
crazy. I think maybe they were saying it was 15 minutes of like but nude scenes, which it was more like
not even three,
five,
minutes. Not even like yeah.
Oppenheimer obviously would have been 10 times better if Cillian Murphy was just naked in every scene. But other than that,
yeah, we don't get to talk about other people's misreadings of this movie. This movie was, I mean, wow.
Top five Nolan.
Yeah.
It cuts it close just because there's so many great ones.
So we could talk about that, I guess. In terms of Nolan's filmography, I think I put it four.
I think I would put it four or five.
Because Inception, Interstellar, Dark Knight, but I think it can go after Dark Knight.
Yeah. It's like, it's in that like prestige memento.
It's better than prestige
memento. Tier.
Definitely. I said, and
I think I would put it above those two. Yeah, Tenet, I think, is on the next tier below. Yeah, with like
I hope John
Dark Knight Rises. And...
John Mike,
well, I mean, we're not saying it's bad. We're saying it's not as good as those other movies, which is true. It's not.
It's not.
It's still very good.
I'm just the takeaways from Oppenheimer. I mean, I get that some people, it's not a movie for most people. I'm gonna be honest with you. I wouldn't recommend it to most people.
It's a movie for American patriots, just like Sound of Freedom. Go watch Sound of Freedom. Only in theaters.
I can't even endorse that as a joke. Do not want. Do not. Just don't, dude. Yeah, no, I can't even joke about Sound of Freedom. I'm sad that I never even wanted to bring it up, but yeah, no. It's just a movie you have to have your brain on for, 100%. It's gonna make you quiet. It's gonna, you know, put you in those
nuclear explosions.
There's only one in the movie, but yeah,
nuclear explosion.
But it's gonna
feel it in your face.
It's gonna give you the I guess what I'm. It's gonna make you like think about the issues Oppenheimer went through too.
Building like the bomb,
the guilt. You know. I mean, even during the work. I mean, man, because if you really think about the bomb itself, pretty much everyone involved in World War II, even Eisenhower, who's the leader of armed forces in the Western Front. They just did not have to drop those bombs.
Well, they didn't have to. I think the reason they wanted to do it is to be like, we can do this and show our and flex our power. We also don't have to send people there. And so we think we're safe. We're saving American lives. That's kind of
the
thought process. But it definitely wasn't necessary.
The biggest thing was definitely, well, we sunk $2 billion into this.
Yeah, that's probably also true.
And it didn't get done before they beat Germany, which I think is another thing, too. I think a lot of people have a misconception about World War II. I think a lot of people don't really know Germany was done before Japan was.
Yeah, like World War II didn't end when Germany was defeated. Not necessarily, at least.
For Russia, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it was really just us against Japan as, like, the last act. I'm using us very loosely. I feel like the biggest takeaways should not be necessarily about the history itself. I think as a film, this is just a very remarkable achievement in what a film can be and in filmmaking itself. Like, Nolan obviously always goes above and beyond, but this is the first time we've kind of seen him in this way, in like a historical, biographical way almost. So,
yeah. So I kind of disagree slightly when it's like a movie like this where it's about history. It doesn't matter a bit. You don't want
to. Well, I'm not saying it's historically wrong. There's no historical inaccuracy.
No, there's not. And props for that, because it happens a lot, and it's very easy to lie about history to make a better movie. So, you know, it's good that most of it's pretty good in that regard. But yeah, the Nolan, I mean, he's never, you know, been known for not shattering the fucking glass, right?
Yeah.
But I think, because when you really, like, look at it, he doesn't have a lot to do with, at least in this movie, right? Like, with the set. Because, obviously, he has Interstellar and Inception, and he got to play a lot more with those and really show off. It's a lot harder to do that in a movie like this, but he does it.
Yeah.
The test explosion scene.
Just insane.
That
was one of the most exhilarating sequences.
Yeah.
I've ever seen.
It's not even. God, is it the best explosion I've ever seen in a movie? I might have to say yes. Just because.
Really, dude? Better than like.
Really? Better than like Avengers Infinity War?
I don't disagree with you.
I think I've
always said there's something to be said about when I know exactly what's going to happen and I'm still like holding my breath, you know, and like so excited to see what's next. Like, I knew everything about the entire story, but everything had me on the edge of my seat, and I was just enthralled the whole time.
I will say I did kind of think, and maybe this is just, it was pretty clear that this wasn't going to be the case when the movie started, but I did think that the peak of the movie, and like, I honestly thought the test explosion would be like more towards the end. Honestly, it was like a little past the middle.
After the test, when like they hear the speech from Truman saying like we nuked Japan and all that stuff, and he gives that speech in the auditorium, which is another incredible scene, by the way.
Another sensational scene.
You're like, oh, it's probably like 15-20 minutes left in the movie. No, it's like an hour.
No, we still got like an hour 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was shocking.
It's an incredible final third act. It really is.
It is. It was a little jarring to me seeing it for the first time that the test explosion was like end of the second act. I did not expect that to be the case. It's not like it hurt the movie or anything, but like it did shock me a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like I did not expect there to be as much of the post-war stuff as there was. I walked into the trailers didn't really show. I had no inclination that there would be so much of what happened, like with Louis Strauss and the revoking of a security clearance, which I've learned about But I didn't know it was this like extensive, and I didn't know Nolan would lean so much into it. But I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I thought it was a ton of fun.
I will say it does lose a few points for the fucking JFK Easter egg.
I mean,
that was some Marvel shit. Let's be real.
I don't have a problem with that.
That was Marvel level. Oh yeah, this young senator from Massachusetts, Kennedy. Come on.
I just thought of Back to the Future. I was like, who the hell is John F. Kennedy?
It was great, though. I mean, Nolan obviously heard us with Across the Spider-Verse, and it became personal for him.
It did become personal for him.
Yeah, that's not going to be an easy conversation in December. And you know what else? Honestly, one of the most exciting things tonight, we got to see the, at least for me, I've never seen the trailer for it before, but we got a Killers of the Flower Moon trailer.
Well, had you not seen either of the previous ones?
No. That's the first one I've seen in theaters. But I've been tracking Killers of the Flower Moon for a while.
Yeah. But you never saw the ones I dropped on, like, Twitter, YouTube? No. They have two.
Because that's the thing. I don't seek out trailers ever. The only trailers
You're like, I want to be surprised.
The only... Because that's... Trailers nowadays, man, they could just be the movie.
They really could, honestly.
So I don't seek out trailers ever. The only trailers I see are the, like, previews before a movie. And that was the first Killers of the Flower Moon one I've seen. Which I'm excited for, like I said. I really have been waiting for that for like 3 years.
I'm very excited for Killers of the Flower Moon. Also, anytime I get to see Dune Part 2 trailer on the big screen,
yeah,
very much enjoy
true.
It.
Yeah, this is not going to be easy. Come December.
It's definitely not going to be easy.
Yeah, it hasn't been made easy this year for Movie of the Year, but we will see.
The thing about Oppie, though, is, like, I was told, like, in the week leading up to it, just by critics and reviewers on the internet, they were like, oh yeah, Cillian Murphy is amazing, RDJ is amazing, like Emily Blunt is amazing. I was like, yeah, I figured. And they were all just like better than I thought they would be, even with that expectation.
Yeah, Cillian
Murphy, I think that's RDJ's best role ever.
I could agree with that.
Actually, it's obviously Iron Man 2.
It's Avengers Age of Ultron, dude.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's obviously Captain America Civil War. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? But no, REJ did cook. I will say Cillian Murphy was cooking with fucking charcoal, dude.
Cooking with hot grease. Hey, he got his chance finally to be a lead in an Nolan movie.
Did not disappoint at all.
Not at all. Like, Emily Blunt doesn't really shine until the third act of the movie. So I was sitting there, like, after the Trinity test. I was like, why are people loving Emily Blunt in this film so much? She's had, like, five lines in the whole damn thing.
And then she cooks.
And she cooks hard as fuck. Florence Pugh in her limited screen time I thought was pretty solid.
Shit, Matt Damon, who is can be pretty average, he did pretty well.
Alden Ehrenreich was amazing, I thought.
Yeah.
Rami Malek had like one scene and he fucking killed it.
Yeah, Rami Malek had one like speaking line the whole movie, and it was in the like at the end of the fucking at the conference. The Jack Quaid, dude, they had Hubie.
They did.
He didn't do nothing. Bro was just there.
Hubie was just there to play the bongos. They're like, this guy's gonna play the fucking bongos.
This guy's playing the bongos.
Yeah, he played the fuck out of those bongos. They're like, let's just grab as many random people as possible. Let's get Roderick in here. Let's get Josh Peck in here.
Roderick, Josh Peck. Like, come on now.
that dude's filmography is the Die Every Wimpy Kid trilogy and Oppenheimer.
Dude. That's going up in the rafters.
That's going up in the rafters for sure. But the ending.
I also love how the big thing, not the big thing, but it's like in the movie, just throughout the course of the film, which is like, man, Oppenheimer really fucks. He fucks big time. They're like, yeah, your friend died of a broken heart. He's like, no, it's not possible. He never knew I fucked his wife. Like, all right, bro.
Okay.
Like, yeah, we get it.
He was nuts. And that's lore accurate. Lore accurate.
It is.
Just calling history.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Just call excuse me, professor. This is not a history book. It's a lore book. Where's the wiki for this?
Where's the wiki? Why did Oppenheimer build the atomic bomb? Is he stupid?
I think I was smarter than this guy, actually.
Is there a lore reason why Oppenheimer wears that hat?
Dude, Albert Einstein came in like fucking Chadwick Boseman in an Endgame.
I did love the ending, though, when we do get the conversation that Oppenheimer and Einstein have.
Very well done. Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich was like, maybe they were talking about something more important than you. And I was like,
and they were.
I wonder what they talked about. And it's like, oh, it's the end of the world. That's cool.
But it was incredible. Start to finish. I mean, the start, they literally threw the fucking Prometheus shit on
there. That was crazy. Like, an opening thing like that hasn't shook me since, like, Nope.
Yeah.
The Nope one was also really good.
I think,
but this was like,
yeah, I for sure. I mean, it definitely comes from Nolan being inspired by American Prometheus, which is the book,
the biography.
Yeah,
yeah. The thing about Nope is, I was like, oh, I don't really know what this movie's about. But with this one, I was like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, he is Prometheus.
Like, well, damn. And that ending, I'm like. That's honestly, that's what I see after having a Taco Bell volcano menu.
That's what my toilet sees
after like that's just
Doritos Locos, dude.
Like, that's just me, but it's whatever.
But it is a, I mean, if you're giving it a rating, it's a 10.
It is a 10.
Easy 10.
It's our second 10 of the year. I don't know if I can say it's my number one film of the year thus far.
I'm definitely gonna have to do rewatches because
I'm going to see it again on Wednesday.
I mean, like later in the year when it's decision time.
Have you seen Spider-Verse a second time yet?
No.
Yeah, I've seen it 4 times.
Okay, well.
So, but like, I'd say, I mean. Currently, the only 10s I would give out this year were Spider-Verse and Oppie. And then there's like a lot of 9s, right? Like, I thought Mission Impossible was a 9. Yeah, I thought like Past Lives was a 9. I thought Guardians 3 was a 9. So for me, it's a 2-horse race currently. And then we'll see what happens if/when Dune comes out later this year.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that because they're like, oh yeah, they're striking and we're going to move back the release date. Like, do you understand the things that I will do?
You're not going to take that away from me, man. They're not going to take it away from me.
I did initially have MI 10, but I did bump it down to a 9. I was glazing a little too hard, I think.
That's interesting. Usually, I feel like we'd be bumping movies up after seeing them. You were too high on the fucking Tom Cruise sauce.
He was goaded with the saws.
He is the quirked up white boy that's goaded with the saws. He owns that title.
He is 100% the quirked up white boy, and yeah, he is goaded with the saw. I think I had John Wick at a 9 too. Forgot about that movie coming out 4 months ago. It was great though. I did love John Wick.
They're going to bring him back from the dead like Han in Fast and Furious.
I will lose my fucking mind
Oh, did Fast 10 come out this year or last year?
That was 2 months ago, yeah.
Really?
Yes, it was 2 months ago. Did you see it in theaters?
It feels like an eternity ago. No, I did not see it in theaters.
I did.
That's obviously movie of the year. Come on, let's be real.
Obviously, yeah. Not even close to the worst of the year, though, but that's, I mean, we still got time.
What's your front runner for worst of the year right
Scream.
Now? Scream. Scream 6?
Yeah.
I thought people really enjoyed Scream 6.
No, that shit was ass.
For me...
People. Yeah.
It's got... It's...
People.
It's got...
In quotes.
Yeah. Ex Machina people.
That's the AI people. Like... One.
Yeah, it's the ice cream so good people. For me, it's got to be between Quantumania and Shazam 2.
Yeah, I didn't even bother watching either.
But we got time. I'm looking at my Letterboxd right now. I have the Little Mermaid rated at half star, and I didn't even watch it. So there are two movies that I gave a half star that came out this year that I actually have not seen. Actually, three. One is House Party because LeBron is in it.
Jesus.
One is The Little Mermaid, and then the other is White Man Can't Jump because Jack Harlow's in it. So all three I haven't seen any of them. I'm just playing narratives.
Yeah, I really don't have any reason to watch any of them.
I have narratives to push, and I have my Letterbox curve to straighten out. That's true. So.
I don't know who was like, you know what the world needs in 2023? A White Man Can't Jump reboot.
With Jack Harlow.
Yeah, I don't think people needed that. But yeah, Oppenheimer's a 10. Pure 10. Your history teacher will be showing it in class. He probably won't.
Yeah, there's too many boobies.
That's true.
There's not enough boobies if you ask me.
But we then move on to Barbie.
Yeah, speaking of private parts, let's move on to Barbie.
So now we're going to talk about the real intellectual testing movie of the night here. Oppenheimer was, it was good for a few chuckles.
Yeah, it was good for the laughs.
But now this is where the real men are. Is that Barbie?
I was taking notes on a fucking... I was like keeping score at a baseball game.
You were bookkeeping Barbie. Now Barbie was, I think I was more surprised by Barbie. I didn't really know what to expect for Barbie, to be honest with you. I just figured.
Yeah, I had no idea what the fucking movie was about. And I'd seen all the trailers.
Yeah, I really didn't have like a good. I mean, at least from what I was thinking, I was not really close about what Barbie was about. Really funny. It was
very funny.
It was really
funniest funny. Movie I've seen this year.
Probably. Incredibly funny, dude.
Like obviously Spider-Verse was very funny. But yeah, funniest movie I've seen this year for sure. I wasn't expecting it to make me laugh as much as it did. I wasn't expecting the jokes. Also, I wasn't expecting it to be as I don't think raunchy is the right word, but they were really stretching that PG-13 rating thing.
They stretched it.
Like, it was to the point where when me and my friends got out of the theater, we had to check if it was actually PG-13.
Yeah, it was... It was stretching that PG-13. I wonder... Because I guarantee like, you that initial cut...
If you had, like, a 13-year-old daughter, would you have taken her to see that movie knowing what was in it? It's a deep question, I know.
13-year-old daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, probably. I mean, it's definitely not for kids.
No, definitely not.
Let's say not because of why Republicans are saying it's not for kids. don't go down that fucking hole. It's not like that.
Let's say hypothetically you watch Barbie over the Sound of Freedom.
I'm just saying I don't really want to leave the movie and explain to a 6-year-old what a gynecologist is.
Definitely not. Also, one of the funniest 15 seconds in cinema in a very long time is where, like, oh, she's going to, like, start a first day at a job or something like that. And then she says, I'm here to see my gynecologist. And then it just a beat drop on Barbie like World. Nice. Like, because the entire, like, week leading up to Barbie, Barbenheimer in general, I was just like, my roommate and I, we were having these debates about, like, where are these songs from the Barbie soundtrack going to be in the film? So it's pretty obvious that, like, the Dua Lipa song was going to be in, like, the disco scene from the trailer and stuff like that. But the main thing I could not figure out was, where is the Ice Spice song going to be?
Yeah.
Like, it has to, I was like, it has to be in the credits, because I don't think there's anywhere they can fit it in the movie, unless there's, like, another dance scene.
Definitely not. I was debating. I honestly didn't know if they were going to do the Ice Spice or just the original, like, song.
I thought the original song should have been in the film, but...
Yeah, it should have been, but it, like... I get it, I guess.
But way too funny. In my opinion, one of the best fourth wall breaks I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was that fourth wall break, and it's a risky fourth wall break.
Extremely.
If the movie isn't doing as good as it is to that point, that's gonna flop hard as shit. But it hits pretty good. I'm sure you're referring to the side note to me. Margot Robbie is, like, not the person to cast to make this point.
Yeah, and it's really funny as well, because I was talking to my friend over the course of the film about, like, I was like, man, Margot Robbie just looks so good. And there was a moment where she was, like, not wearing makeup, and I was like, man, she looks so good. And then, like, 5 minutes later, Helen Mirren is coming from the fourth wall and is like, yeah, Margot Robbie's not the person to cast if you wanted to tell one to say she doesn't look pretty.
Yeah.
And the theater was dying.
It was great.
With that joke.
It was a really funny movie, man.
Yeah, and with a sold-out theater, very fun experience. There were times where I was the person laughing hardest in the cinema. Like, when she wakes up on the second day, and instead of the Lizzo song saying, like, K is for cool, she was like, K is for death. I, like, fucking burst out laughing.
Yeah, it was, dude, it's really funny. Anyone else thinking about dying?
Like, where does that come from?
Like, real, dude.
I was like, man, this Dua Lipa song fucks. And then she's like, anybody think about dying?
Bro. And I will say, Ken was real as hell. I can't lie.
Ken was amazing.
Ryan Gosling as Ken is such an unhinged fucking choice, and it works so well.
I think it was perfect.
It was.
Like, he can just pull it off so well.
Now, real ones
know. He's at that point in his career.
Real ones know that Margot Robbie... did very well as Barbie in this movie because of her experience with Babylon.
Oh yeah, of course.
It's honestly not really that much of a joke, to be honest with you. She probably did take some stuff from Babylon. But Ryan Gosling, man, I drive.
There's something inside you.
I love the TikTok cut. What are you doing here? I drive. Shit, dude.
It's so good. One of the best things about TikTok is people learning about Ryan Gosling movies and how good they are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been my favorite actor for a long time.
Dude, it's just like when they go to the real world and then they get to the school and Ryan Gosling's just like, I'm going to go to the library and find a book about trucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's real as fuck, dude.
When he's at, like, the doctor's office, he's like, can I speak to a doctor? And she's like, I am a doctor. And he just goes and finds a male doctor. He's like, oh, a doctor.
Like, dude. Oh, my God.
And, again, people, the fucking, you know, the blank shablankos of the world on Twitter are like, oh, man, they're talking about the patriarchy and how bad it is. I was like, I think you're missing the whole point of the movie.
I think you didn't watch the movie.
Like, this is not saying, like, oh, we need to overthrow the patriarchy. It's saying this is the fucking misconception that happens in the real world. And that idea should be replaced, perhaps.
Dude, where can I get me a Mojo Dojo Casa house?
In the real world, the guy was like, these things are selling off the shelves like hotcakes.
Bro, they were going nuts. Everybody wanted a Mojo Dojo Casa house.
obviously the real hero of the film is Alan.
Michael Cera, I don't really like. They just told him to be Michael Cera. He's like, all right.
Well, Michael Cera just plays himself in every film he's ever been in.
Yeah.
But he was like, channeling some Scott Pilgrim in this movie.
He definitely was, dude. God, Barbie was so funny and very deep.
Yeah.
Deep, very deep. Like, you know, it really challenges, you know, how people view the world and a good perspective on things.
Yeah. I've always said one of the worst parts about being a man, having a Y chromosome, having a penis, things of that nature, is
in that regard.
Yeah, you know, there's things like that, you know, testosterone, things like that. The worst part of it is I will never get to fully understand and fully appreciate Greta Gerwig's films.
Yeah, you know, that's
like the main reason I would ever have for wanting to be a woman is to really fully experience just, a Greta Gerwig film as a woman.
Is to just
I think be, it would be so sick.
Just to have, is that what you would do if you were a woman for a day? Is just watch Greta Gerwig's filmography?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't do anything. Everybody has a wrong idea. They're like, oh, if I was a girl for a day, I would let all my homies hit. I'm like, no, I'm watching. I'm doing the Greta Gerwig back to back to back. Because like as it stands, like I would say, I think her best movie is Little Women, and then I would go Barbie, and then Lady Bird. But and I think Little Women's a very good film. But of those three, I would experience them so much better.
Lady Bird, I definitely have to watch as a woman because I did not enjoy this shit.
Exactly. like this might be TMI, but I'm not a woman and I didn't grow up with a mom. Well, so I just can't appreciate Lady Bird as much as people who grew up as women and had moms.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that...
Respectfully.
I think it's just also knowing... Like, I'm not going to say Lady Bird's a bad movie. It just was not
it's for not. Me. It's not. I respect it.
It just was not for me, dude.
Yeah. I watched Lady Bird
and,
for Timmy.
And Lady Bird was not made for me, and I could understand that.
It was not.
Yeah. I'm not that stupid.
That's like white... Like, rich white people that watched... Like Everything Everywhere, and they were like, I don't get it. I was like, Of course you don't get it. It just was not made for you.
It wasn't even close, dude. It's like, yeah, I don't know what the hype is about Everything Everywhere. I don't, maybe because you've never had a struggle in your life. Like, come on.
But yeah, I wish, like, fun. When What Was I Made For came out, the Billie Eilish song, like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, so we're going to have a really emotional scene in this Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, they can't catch me crying in the Barbie movie.
No,
and
I definitely could not be caught crying in the Barbie movie.
I did not cry in the Barbie movie. But again, no. Maybe if I had 2X chromosomes, that little montage would have put me
not
in
my even
ass.
If you just watch it at home.
Oh, yeah, true, because then I can freely express myself without fear of judgment of other people in a dark cinema.
And I didn't watch Oppenheimer before.
True, maybe if I wasn't filled with existential dread.
Yeah.
But Barbie was honestly a lot better than I thought it would be. I gave it a 3.5. I've been considering bumping it up
to
4.
I gave it a 4.
In fact, in the cinema, for most of the movie, I was sitting on 3.
No, it was. It's a 4 all the way for me. Even just because of how funny it is.
Yeah, that's part of why I bumped it up to 3.5 is because I was like, "This is one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time." Starters, and 2, I just really appreciate how it was made. Like was they good. Are sweeping the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Aside from like special effects at the Oscars, if we have an Oscars,
yeah,
like
yeah,
they're taking set design. They're taking costume design. It was Barbie Land. Even the fucking wave was a plastic thing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It just bounces off of it. I was like, when he was running to the ocean, I was like, it's not a real ocean. There's no fucking chance. And then lo and behold.
And then the John Cena cameo, dude.
What are you talking about? I didn't see
That's
anything.
True. I didn't see him either. I just read
Dua Lipa popped up and she was like, do you want a beer? And I was like, who are you talking to, Dua? Me? Do you want to talk to me? I could talk to you, Dua, if you want to, if you want, you want to talk to me. Every time she popped up on screen, I jumped out of my seat and I started jumping up and down like monkey. I'm not going to lie.
Come on. Relax. Relax.
What do you want? What do you want me to do? Relax. Let's do it. I'm not going to.
God, it was Ryan Gosling was so funny too.
He was, and Will Ferrell was pretty good.
Good, dude. Ken's not something we're worried about ever.
Come on. You know what? You know what I'll say. I think actually surprised me the most about Barbie. The soundtrack.
Good soundtrack.
Very good soundtrack. Very good soundtrack. Like, is it across the Spider-Verse level? Maybe not, but still very good, very enjoyable. Like, they gave me my first Tame Impala song in years. And for the, it's a 90-second song about just being in a portal from Barbie Land to the real world. But even then, I'm just like, fuck, I got to tip my cap. Margot Robbie's great, dude. I think Margot Robbie is, like, one of the best actresses we have right now.
Yeah. Great fit to play Barbie. I don't really know who else could have played Barbie, dude.
I don't think at this point in time, nobody could have played Barbie. Nobody else. But just between like, dude, can you believe he was 22 in The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's like Mbappe in the 2018 World Cup. Who is this guy? But between, I mean, the last like 2 to 3 years for Margot Robbie have been insane. Like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Babylon, The Suicide Squad, Barbie.
Yeah, let's get her better scripts, because been in too many movies.
I don't think so. I mean, Barbie, good movie. I, Tonya, good movie. Wolf of Wall Street, good movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, good movie. The Suicide Squad, great movie. Babylon, great movie, you know?
Suicide Squad. We don't talk about that.
Well, yeah. Well,
not that's, her fault, to be fair, but
definitely a movie that exists. Yeah. Even like Focus, right? One of her first big movies was a really solid movie. I enjoy Focus. I sometimes can't really stand Will Smith, but I think she's really good in that. Obviously, Margot Robbie's best film is The Big Short, where she shows up for 30 seconds to explain economic policy in a bathtub while drinking champagne.
Yeah, everybody remembers The Big Short. That's, you know, everybody's favorite movie is The Big
Short. The Big Short's so fucking weird. They're just like, here to explain this thing. Here's Anthony Bourdain. And I'm like, Anthony Bourdain? Dude,
man, imagine if we got like a Nolan movie about that fucking crisis in 08.
I feel like that's not a very Nolan thing, though.
No, but somebody suggested he do a Kennedy movie, and I would be there no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Imagine, like, the fucking Ana de Armas Marilyn Monroe movie post-credit scene. It's like Marilyn Monroe overturn in Kennedy.
In Kennedy. The Nolanverse, dude.
Albert Einstein overturn. Did you know what clicked for me recently?
What?
The dude who played Einstein is the guy who fixes Bruce Wayne's back in The Dark Knight Rises in the prison.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
I
was like, I've seen this guy before. And I was just thinking, like, because outside of Killian, Nolan didn't really cast his usuals for this movie. Like, there's no Michael Caine. You know, there's no fucking Robert Pattinson. I think he said he wanted to put Robert Pattinson in the movie, but he's just too busy with other stuff, which, like, you know, fair.
Well, I don't know where he would have fit, though. Maybe it's like a scientist. Somebody was like, imagine if Nolan casted Bryan Cranston to play Heisenberg. Like, all right, man.
Heisenberg wasn't even in the movie.
Yeah, he was. He had one scene.
Really?
Yeah. And they bring him up a lot.
Werner Heisenberg. Oh, yeah, he was in the movie for like when he's in Germany.
Yeah, he went to like one of his lectures, but I think that's the only time he's in it.
Yo, God forbid we cast a German as a German.
God forbid, right? Bryan Cranston as Heisenberg.
Everybody would have like done the Wojak.
Yeah, I think I would have lost my mind.
We should have put Bryan Cranston in Barbie, so that would have been the best movie featuring Ryan Gosling and Bryan Cranston. A Drive.
Yeah, A Drive?
Yeah, because as it stands, right, Barbie's the best movie of the two movies that feature Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, right above The Big Short.
Mm-hmm.
But I need that hoodie, the I Am Knuff hoodie.
I need that. I need it now. Yeah.
Needed expeditiously.
I need that expedited. That is a great fucking, great the drip, dude. Nah, the fucking like the mink that he's wearing after he sets up the patriarchy.
Bro, I'm trying to get like with the headband mink, the no headband. Shirt underneath combo. Doing crazy with the double fit. Sunglasses, doing pull-ups, like the
crazy fit, dude.
Again, like only Ryan Gosling can pull that off. My sister was like, if they made Barbie like 10 years ago, they should have cast Zac Efron as Ryan as a Ken. No. And I was like, no, we need Ryan Gosling.
Tomato.
Boo, tomato. I think on a rewatch I could maybe bump up Barbie to a 4. But I'm pretty pleased with 3.5. It has a fucking like 4.3 on Letterboxd, which I think is crazy. Yeah,
that's gonna fall. That's just the initial reaction.
Yeah, I feel like it's the Barbenheimer hype, the Barbie hype.
That's gonna fall. But like, it's a good movie.
It is very enjoyable. Also, the fucking 2001: A Space Odyssey intro.
That was crazy. I think that's what like snapped me out of it and realized, oh, this is gonna be some kind of fucking movie. The 2001 intro.
I want to go back to your point about trailers because that the first teaser trailer for Barbie like 18 months ago was that the 2001 intro.
Yeah,
and if Greta was just like, let's not do that and let's just wait for the regular trailer cycle, that intro, I would have been like, oh, this is already the best movie I've ever seen. Because you know how much I love 2001.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, 2001's a classic.
So I wish it was a surprise. I wish I was
I love the... I do. I mean, it was for me because I never saw any of that. But that's why I don't chase trailers. I did love.
I'm just saying, bro. When they were like, "Yeah, Greta Gerwig is making a Barbie movie. Here's the teaser." I was like, "I need to be tapped in now."
I also loved when they were like resetting the patriarchy.
Yeah, it's like,
and there's like, you've never seen The Godfather.
It's Coppola's masterpiece.
Oh my god, dude.
Or ask them to like show you how to do something sports related.
Yep. Oh, the it's like Photoshop one.
It was like that. Oh, it's like you only use the select tool when you've selected a layer.
Oh my god. It's so funny.
Just and it's like, you know, again, the fucking side of Twitter will be like, oh, look, they're just saying men are bad. I'm like, you would all fall for this. You would all fall for it, dude.
That's who they were making fun of.
It's the male experience.
Oh my god.
If a woman was like, yeah, I don't know how to swing a golf club, you'd be like, yeah, I'll show you.
If you got offended by the Barbie movie, you're who they were making fun of.
100%. Also, I just want to say this. I had no idea that Ruth Handler was forced to resign as the CEO of Mattel because she was evading taxes. I thought that was just a joke in the movie.
I googled it afterwards. I really didn't know that.
She was like, it was like the SEC went and investigated Mattel and they were like, oh, she's been falsifying financial documents. And she was like, yep, I have been. Time to step down. I thought that was a cheeky tax evasion joke because that's a funny joke among the kids these days, but nope.
Yeah, the kids love tax evasion jokes.
They do, but she actually evaded taxes.
Greta's real as fuck for having that in there.
Yeah.
I wonder also, what Mattel...
Also, that kid was Mattel... an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say it. I mean, she had a redemption arc, sure, but for the first like half of the movie, I was like, I fucking hate this kid. Shut up.
It was something, man. What a spectacle.
Yeah. I feel like Barbie leaves more to discuss. At least maybe it's easier to discuss Barbie.
Yeah, so. I don't think anybody's going to want to pull up to the function and talk about the ethical and duty to man.
Like the moral concerns and of dropping two bombs on Hiroshima and not.
I don't think anyone's pulling up to the function and discussing that.
Also, I didn't know that in real life, like Oppenheimer was like, I have blood on my hands, and Truman was like, you're a pussy.
Yeah, that like, happened.
And again, in the movie, I was like, I don't know if it's actually happened because Nolan said, you know, the color is subjective, the black and white is objective. But no, Truman actually was like, you're a pussy, get out of my office.
Yeah.
And they never spoke again.
Yep.
In fact, he never went back to the White House until Ike was like, here's a Medal of Honor or something.
Well, I mean, there's a few reasons Truman was only a one-term president.
But I feel like that's a little shaky, right? Because he only won one election, right? He inherited the presidency when FDR died. And then I think he won one election. Maybe was eligible to run for a second, and then... Because he was president for a full 8 years.
Yeah, he was. Wait, what? Man, maybe I'm tripping.
But I'm not sure if it's because he won two elections or because he inherited the office and then won one election afterwards.
We're checking VAR. He won.
This VAR check is brought to you by NordVPN. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he won one election, I believe. Yeah, he won in 48. But then lost to Ike.
But that adds up.
But I mean, he won the election, obviously. But it was actually a bit of a surprise, because a lot of people thought Dewey was going to win.
So did that one newspaper.
Yeah. So much so that, yeah, there's a newspaper clip with the front page saying Dewey defeats Truman. It was very close.
Also, did you know Truman was played by Gary Oldman?
I did.
I didn't know that until after I looked at the credits. I was like, oh, it's Gary Oldman. He was like, don't let that crybaby back in here. Now we just need to see Barbie interact with President Joe Biden.
I don't really know how that would go.
What about Joe Biden getting sturdy to Bad Like a Barbie by Ice Spice?
Joe Biden getting sturdy? Joe Biden just starts grittying, dude.
Trump falls to his knees like fucking Walton Ozymandias.
We gotta wrap it up. It's over.
It is over. I gotta go see my gynecologist.
But it was absolutely. I fear you already have.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, Barbenheimer was great. I would recommend trying to do it.
Listen, this is the last thing I'll say about Barbenheimer. It was just, it's awesome to see people back at the cinema. Like, we haven't had like a true cinematic event, I feel like, since Endgame, especially since the pandemic. So to see people come in like fucking costumes and fucking show up and show out and fill out movie theaters, and like the movies have made like a combined like $500 million this weekend alone. That makes me really warm and fuzzy. So suck a dick, Scorsese. Cinema's back.
Unfortunately, that isn't really
the case, you wouldn't, you don't cover your ears. No Way Home was an event too for a lot of people.
Okay, well, it wasn't a good movie, so talk about it.
I would say it's, you know, we're not going to talk about that right now. Yeah, we're not going to do that, but
yeah, we'd be here for hours.
Yeah, we would add another hour to this episode. If you enjoyed our Barbenheimer discussion, we are ProPodChew. I am its speakers, ITSBRIZZ. Roz is Roz, double underscore. And we have a great day.